We don't need a statistician to prove there will be no Major League Baseball in New York this October. I'm joined by Mike Vaccaro, columnist for the New York Post. Mike, which postseason elimination was tougher on New Yorkers, the Mets or the Yankees?
Well, seeing as how the Mets came unofficially around May the 4th, I think they had time to deal with those disappointments. I think the Yankees obviously always think they're going to be playing October baseball, and when they don't, it's kind of a shock to the system, especially because obviously they had a pretty famous player whose days are dwindling down to a precious few.
I actually want to talk a little bit about the Mets before we get to the Yankees, because on Monday, the Mets management tried to buoy fan love of the team with a Twitter hashtag, I'm a Mets fan because... I guess the marketing folks didn't expect answers like, they were all out of Yankees gear and my parents didn't love me as a child.
You know what, Bill? It's been a continuing problem for the Mets that they're kind of out of touch with their fan base. And if they didn't know that they were the proud owners of some of the most self-loathing fans in professional sports, then that's shame on them. You know, how they get by season to season, year to year, is by hoping for the best, expecting the worst, and then making fun of themselves the whole way.
Earlier this month, you wrote that Mets fans were hoping for two miracles, a playoff run and the ouster of owner Fred Wilpon. They didn't get their first wish, obviously, but with a commissioner retiring, is there any hope that a new commissioner might help with a second?
Well, I'll put it this way. I think if the chances of the Mets changing owners was 0.0% under Bud Selig, maybe it's more like now 2 or 2.5% under Rob Manfred. I don't think he's going to necessarily go out of his way to oust the Wilpon's ownership, but I will say that I think that if there are any more missteps, and there have been plenty in the last 5 to 10 years, that I don't think they're necessarily bulletproof under the new commissioner. But unless there's a serious case of mismanagement or others, I have a hard time seeing how they're going to be forced to sell the team. Now, they may still well at some point reach a determination that they just can't do it anymore, but it's going to take a lot more than a couple of bad years for them to reach that conclusion.
Heading to the other side of the East River, the Yankees have been celebrating Derek Jeter's 20th and final season all year long. Despite his last at-home at-bat, a walk-off single, Jeter's batting average is around .250 for the season. But will his retirement make the Yankees worse in 2015, and who's going to replace him?
That's the one thing that was always a counter-argument to a lot of people who wondered, you know, should he have been dropped in the batting order this year? Should he have played DH more than shortstop this year? Is the fact that, look, I mean, Brendan Ryan was essentially his replacement. Brendan Ryan's in the .150. No, they're not going to be as good in that position. I mean, you know, one guy I think they would have liked to have replaced him with possibly is Stephen Drew, but Stephen Drew's in the hitting .160. There's nobody that's quite going to have the same kind of presence that Derek Jeter had, even in his declining days. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for the Yankees.
As the season has ended, some people have said there's been too much celebration of Derek Jeter. Others have said it's not possible to celebrate Derek Jeter too much. How are you going to remember his career?
I'm going to remember it for the moments. You start with the flip play, because I think that what that does is it really kind of illustrates both aspects of who Derek Jeter was, both the tangible and the intangible. The other one, I think, which is really symbolic, is the famous play in 2004 where he dove into the stands in the extra innings against the Red Sox. Whenever you see the picture of him in the stands, you see Alex Rodriguez right behind him with his hands in the air. If the camera were to pan back even more, you would see Nomar Garciaparra in the dugout. He didn't play that day, and those were his two contemporaries when they all broke in together in the late 90s. You know, you look now where they are, Derek Jeter is clearly on a level above for any number of reasons the other two. So I think those two plays really illustrate in a small microcosmic way what Derek Jeter was.
Mike Vaccaro is a columnist for the New York Post. Mike, thanks very much for joining me.
My pleasure, Bill. Great talking to you.